I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. We've been looking forward to this evening, where we're going to talk about building intentional relationships. A little bit how this came about was from the Women's Day that they had out here at the Fellowship Hall. One of the things that came out of that was they thought building these intentional relationships was something that could really benefit us, as well as from the men's sexual purity seminar. A lot of this kind of fed from both of those get-togethers. And so we really thought this would be a wonderful thing for our church body. And so we're thankful tonight to have Brother Arlen Miller and his wife, Sister Katie. They're from the Gridley congregation. Brother Arlen's with ACCFS. And he's here tonight to share a little bit more about building these intentional relationships and how we can benefit that, benefit from that as a church body. So we're looking forward to that. We'll ask Brother Arlen to open with the prayer, and looking forward to the evening. So.
Thanks, Brother Jonathan. And it is very good to be back here in Roanoke. Thank you so much for coming out on a beautiful fall day. And let's begin with a prayer. If you're able, let's arise. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful for the opportunity to gather around thy word. We're thankful for the opportunity to look into its truth and to seek to understand thy will for our lives more fully. We're thankful, Father, for this chance to be with this church family and speak and think more deeply about relationship. And we're thankful, Father, that thou hast created a world where we have relationship with each other and for the many blessings that these relationships bring. Father, we pray for thy blessing upon this evening. We pray that thy word and thy spirit would be present, that it would be the teacher, that he would be the teacher tonight, and that we would have open hearts and open minds to receive what he would want to say. Father, bless this church family. Bless our time together, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. As I said before, it's very good to be back here and to be with the Roanoke Church. I am thankful for the opportunity to be here and to spend time with you. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak about this topic of relationship, because that is what we will talk about tonight, is intentional relationships. And let me start just by asking you that there's kind of a question to consider and to think about. You know, and the question is this: why do you come to church? Why do you come to church? And there's a host of reasons. There's not just one reason to answer that question, but it is something to consider. Why do we come to church? And I want to propose to you that a good portion of the reason we come to church is because of the relationships that we have present there. There's a passage in Romans 12, many of you know it very well, where it speaks about the relationships within the church body. And it's a longer passage where it talks about gifts and the different talents that are there. But at the beginning in Romans 12, 5, it says this, and it's a very short but clear passage and easy to remember and memorize. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Members one of another. And so the question tonight that we're going to talk about and to think about is, what does that mean to be a member one of another? What does that mean? And I want to encourage you and challenge you to truly grasp and embrace that to the fullest. And I think that's the heart. I think we, as was referenced before, I think there are glimpses of that every day. I'm sure if Roanoke Church is like Gridley Church and is like other churches, there are glimpses of that every day. And I think we see them sometimes even more clearly at the Women's Day or at the Men's Night, where we talked about purity in this very place. But the encouragement and the challenge is to make that part of who we are and part of our DNA. So, members one of another. This idea of relationship is exemplified to us by God himself. And it starts at the very beginning because it says even before the beginning of the world, there was the Trinity. And it wasn't just God, but it was God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And those three in one were one, and they had deep relationship with each other. And it speaks a little bit to the Father's heart for us, that we are to have deep relationship with each other. And as with the Trinity, there was a giving and receiving, and as with our relationships, there will be a giving and receiving, where sometimes we are giving and where sometimes we are receiving. And that is healthy and good and an opportunity. And according to the design, close to the Father's heart, it's himself. Let me extend it just a little bit different way, though, because I think this is a very healthy way to look at it, too. You have two pictures in front of you. And these two pictures speak of this term of membership. Membership. What does it mean to be a member of a body? What does it mean to be a member of a body? And you have two pictures here. And we could do a show of hands. We won't maybe necessarily in this setting, but we could do a show of hands. Which picture do you think better exemplifies membership? On your left there, you have a picture of kitchen utensils, if you can't see that very clearly. On the right hand, you have what looks like a group of individuals kind of all dressed, you know, kind of all looking together for a photo, you know, group photo of some type. Which one better exemplifies the term membership? And there's these passages in the scripture where Paul talks about this, right? In 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about how the members, the different members of the body, and how there's strength and weaknesses that come with each one. And in Romans 12, as we talked about, he says we are to be members one of another. And in Ephesians 4, he talks about how those different members work together and create a greater whole from the sum of his parts. And if you look into the scriptures and study what that really speaks to, it speaks to that left-hand side picture there. Not of kitchen utensils, that's not what it speaks to. It doesn't talk about that. But it speaks to this idea that each one of us has a role and a purpose and a part within the body that no one else quite has. And further on, if you look into 1 Corinthians 12, and this is a fascinating truth, if you look into 1 Corinthians 12, it says that God places members in the body as it pleases him. As it pleases him to accomplish a purpose and a role and a position. And what that does for me, I don't know what that does for you, but what that does for me is that gives me great purpose. Because it says that God has created and designed and formed and fashioned me and you and your children and every member of your family to be exactly what he wants and to play a critical role within his body. Think about the implications of that. Think about the implications of that. That means that when we show up to church, there is something that God has for us to do. And that when we show up to the church family, there is an opportunity and there is a space and there is a place to fill that only we are designed to do. And when we don't show up, there is that void. God can fill it and God can work and God is sovereign. But he has placed us in the body as it has pleased him. Think about that. And think about that opportunity. Who you are speaks uniquely to what the Roanoke Church family as a whole is. Each one of you. There is great purpose in that. And you go into Ephesians 4:16. I love this passage. Ephesians 4:16. It's kind of wordy. Paul gets very wordy here, but he speaks so much truth. He says, "From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Speaking to the idea that each one of us has a role to play. And when you take a piece out, we miss an opportunity. So, ask yourselves, what's the role that I play within the body of Christ here in Roanoke? Specifically, let's talk Roanoke church family. Second thing I want you to think about as we frame up and talk about this idea of relationship is I have a triangle here, different levels of a triangle. And these different levels can represent different depth of relationship. So at the bottom, you have this idea of community, you know, and there is a community level of relationship. And I would propose that being called into a Christian community automatically brings a little bit different level of depth than just maybe a general community. There's more in common. There is more common purpose, and you start to have a little bit of a depth. But let's keep going. Okay, as you can see on the right hand side there, I have this little statement: as intentionality and trust increase, relationships progress in depth. And maybe I've got backwards there. Maybe I should have the arrow, you know, an inverted, because of the idea of going down and getting deeper. But you have community, and then you can get to this idea of companionship, where some of us are companions with each other. There's a natural kind of drawing and inclination towards each other, and an encouragement that goes along when we see each other, and almost a friendship. You could say friendship in that same kind of line there. And then there's another level where there are times in your life where there will be relationships that bring that level of accountability. Sometimes very explicitly so, where you could have an accountability partner that keeps you grounded in a certain area or keeps you honest in a certain area. Or maybe it's just more the general accountability. I want to do this because I know that it means a lot to them and I don't want to let them down, you know, or something like that. And then the top, and I don't know if this is the very top or not, but for the purpose of tonight, I put this up here. I have this word mentor. And for that word mentor, I don't want that to be an intimidating or a scary word. We'll talk that through much more here in the next few slides. But for that term mentor, I want you to just to think of even a deeper and a more intimate type relationship. Because as each level goes up there, you are increasing in how well you know and are known by this individual or by these people. And how much you are letting them into your life. And how vulnerable you are and how open you are to them and what they might do for you. And where I get convicted many times as I think about this is I think my natural default will be to sometimes stay down here on this bottom level in my relationships. Whether it's church or in general, but specifically in church, if I'm not careful, I'll stay at this bottom level I don't know if I want to call them surface level relationships or just community level. And they're not bad. That's not bad. But there is this nudging of the scriptures, I think is a way to say it, that pulls us and draws us and challenges us to go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper with each other. And so you move from community to companionship to accountability to mentorship. And the pyramid is on purpose, right? Because you will never have as many mentors or accountability individuals as you would community members. There's many more at the bottom levels. But that intentionality and depth draws us to another level. I have a quote there, and forgive me for quoting Winnie the Pooh in a setting like this, but I have my son loves Winnie the Pooh, and I came across this quote, and it just really spoke to me as I was thinking about this talk. And in this in his story, Winnie the Pooh says this: you can't stay in your corner of the forest waiting for others to come to you. You have to go to them sometimes. That is that intentionality piece there. Proverbs says, a man that showeth himself friendly, the man that would be friendly must show himself friendly. I think it says something to that effect. It's that same idea that there is a purpose there. I heard a statistic once, and I think maybe I've even quoted it here, that if an individual has six relationships beyond their immediate family, six relationships within a church, they will remain within that church. Those relationships draw them to that church body and to be involved in that church. Six relationships. Doesn't seem like a lot, does it? And yet that's a question for us to challenge and to think through. Who are my relationships at these different levels within the church? This is what makes church. This is what makes church different than just a club down the street or just a group of individuals that occupy the same physical space. These depth of relationships is what God calls us to within his church family. One more final frame up as we think about these relationships here is this idea of giving and receiving. And I've already referenced it when we talked about the Trinity. But a healthy relationship is one where you give and you also receive. And we know this, right? I think this, I'm stating the obvious here, and yet this is a place where we often fail, I think, to live out what we truly understand. Because there will be times in our lives, if we don't check ourselves, where we always, some of us are always giving, and we will give until the point where we have nothing left. And then sometimes we can get in those patterns where all we do is just take. And a healthy relationship has both giving and receiving. And if you are a servant-minded individual, your challenge is to make sure that you are receiving and asking for help from other people. And if you are one, and sometimes we don't realize this, but if you're one that's always taking, our challenge is to figure out how are we giving to other people. And the beauty of this, here's the beauty of this, is that when we talk about some of these relationships and mentoring and different things that we'll get into here, this will happen automatically. There has never been a mentor relationship where I have had a mentee or someone that I have been involved with that I have been in, that I have not received as much as I have given. There is a blessing in that. Paul quotes Jesus in Acts 20 when he says it's more blessed to give than to receive. But there is also this receiving that goes along right with that. And this draws us to this last diagram here where we speak through this idea of, I call them the threefold relationships in a church. It challenges us. And we use Acts as a pattern here. We talk through this idea in the book of Acts. And if you study the book of Acts and the individuals in the book of Acts, and you start with Paul, and you see when Paul became a Christian there in Acts 9, he was mentored by Ananias. And then he was mentored by Barnabas. And then over time, Paul, he continues on in his life and he grows in his life, and you see that he starts to mentor other people. He gets together with Priscilla and Aquila in one place, and then pretty soon you see Priscilla and Aquila mentoring Apollos, and you see Paul mentoring Timothy. And at different times in the life there, as you study that book of Acts, you see three different types of relationships. There is the mentor relationship. There is the accountability, kind of same level relationship, same peer group, same life stage, sometimes we say. And then there is the mentee relationship. And the check for myself and for yourself, I would contend, is to ask yourself, who is my mentor? Who is teaching me? Who is pouring into me? Am I humble enough? I mean, sometimes it is a question of humility. You know, am I humble enough to be open to being mentored and being taught? And sometimes, usually, it's just a case of time and intentionality. Who is my accountability or my life stage, my peer type relationship that I am open and transparent and vulnerable with that's able to ground me and keep me in reality? And then who is this last relationship, this mentee type relationship, who I am teaching and encouraging down? And I want to challenge, especially, I love the age range we have here. I love the age range here that I see out in the crowd. I want to challenge even the young group here. Who are you? There's an opportunity here. Who can you teach and encourage? A high school and college age student is everything to a junior high and grade school student. Who can you encourage and who can you teach? And how can we in our life find these threefold relationships where there are people pouring into our lives, there are people keeping us grounded, and then there are those who we are pouring into? That, brothers and sisters, is healthy church. That is healthy relationship. And that is the example that was set forward to us from the beginning of the church. Let me dig just a little bit deeper in one more spot, and then we'll talk about some skills and just some very practical type things. I've used this word intentional relationship. I could use the word mentor. I could use disciple, or I could use any kind of words. The term doesn't necessarily matter. What I want to encourage you is I want you to think about what does this look like? What does an intentional relationship look like? And here's a definition. I don't know if it's helpful or not. If it's not, then forget it. But if it is, then use it and pull out pieces from it. But we have defined for some time at the counseling service and from others, we've defined an intentional or a mentor-type relationship to be something along these lines. It says here, the art of growing a friendship in which the love shared in the relationship allows for the establishment of effective accountability as you journey through life together. And it's kind of a mouthful. But there's words I kind of pulled out there and tried to underline and highlight there a little bit. It's the art of growing a friendship. The love shared in that relationship allows for effective accountability as you journey through life together. It's about journeying through life together in an intentional and purposeful way. Being there, being available. And there will be different times when there's different purposes that play out. Sometimes you will see these type of intentional relationships just helping encourage people to spiritual growth. Sometimes you will see these relationships providing support during life transitions when things are a little bit unknown and unclear, and a sounding board type situation to draw people back to the Word and to a sense of stability. There will be times when, you know, the church does so well in crisis moments. When there is a crisis, the church does so well. We've seen it time and time again. There is a rallying around when there is a crisis moment. But what about those longer periods when it's not as, where you can kind of forget about things or there are still needs, but they're of the longer term type nature? That's where these intentional relationships can come in and really help fill a role. And then there are times, and we've seen this again, I mean, even I think back to the purity night, there are times when there will be specific sin issues that need to be dealt with. And an intentional relationship can speak more directly into that, whether it's accountability or challenging or whatever the need might be. So when you think mentoring or think intentionality or think intentional relationships, we are thinking about a deep friendship that develops and emerges over time. A relationship that goes to that another level, or to go back to that pyramid, that moves up from the community to the companion to the accountability, or maybe even to the mentor type stage. We center it around, there's three principles I like to talk about when we talk through this. There's the principle of commitment. An intentional relationship speaks of commitment. There's a commitment of time and energy, and that's where it can be a difficult thing sometimes. We are busy. If I would ask you, you know, how much extra time do you have in your day? You know, tell me. I mean, how much extra time do you have in your day? Most of you will say none, right? We fill that to the end. And then some. And that's where it becomes the intentional decision, where we start to figure out, what can we peel away here to make room? Or to take it to the next level. But it's that commitment, because any relationship is going to take time and energy. It's this clarity. It's understanding what the expectations are. This is something that we can go into more at another time. But sometimes relationships struggle because one person is expecting something and the other person is expecting something else. And if those expectations are not lined up, it can lead towards unmet expectations. It can lead towards disappointment or frustration. And then the third piece is there's this cultivation or this growth piece. It is nice to get together and shoot the breeze, so to speak. Talk about the weather and the crops, you know. That's not wrong. There's a place for that. But there also is a place where I want to encourage you that those relationships should go to a deeper level. That's the community level. There's a place where those relationships can go to a deeper level. And we talk about deeper things and more intentional things. And the beauty of this that we see over and over again in the scriptures, in the challenges of the scriptures, and that we see over and over again in life, is that when you are part of a healthy, giving and receiving type relationship, it will make you want to do that more and more and more. And so these churches, a church becomes a series of self-perpetuating type relationships. That's that threefold relationship, right? You are being mentored for someone so that you can mentor someone else, so that they can then mentor someone else, so that they can mentor someone else. And over time, multi-generational times, you see the faith, the Christian faith, passed down. One last point here. What is a challenge, as I said before, is to figure out how to carve these into or how to fit these into our life. Because relationships take time and energy. And so when we think about setting up or engaging or being part of intentional type relationships or being involved in healthy relationships within a church family, you have to ask yourself some of these questions. How much time do I have? How am I spending my time? Do I have time? And some of you, I can look through the crowd, and some of you are saying, I would love to be more engaged, but I am tapped. I am filled, and I'm filled times two. And that's not bad. If you are being filled and being used, that's a good thing. And we have to have a sense of boundaries. We have to have a check there. We have to keep our priorities straight. God first, family second. You know, we have to work those things out. And we have to commit to relationships with a marathon type mentality and not a sprint type mentality. Because in these types of situations, we can get excited and fired up, and we can say, yes, let me add them. I'm gonna do this and this and this and this and this and this and this. You know, and we can do that for a week or maybe 2 weeks, but it's a sprint. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a marathon. Can you keep the same pace up for months? And so there's a whole nother talk that we can do on boundaries and kind of setting those boundaries around ourselves and making sure that we have kind of laid it out there. But I also, on the other side here, I want to encourage us, don't overcomplicate it. How long does it take to grab coffee with someone and ask them how they're doing? And maybe it just even starts at church lunch it's a beautiful thing we have going for us, where you sit alongside someone at church lunch and you start some conversations. How long does that take? You're there anyway, right? You're eating anyway, more than likely. You're gonna be in that space. How much more does it take to be intentional about the relationships that you engage in next Sunday when you go into the church building? or like I said before, to grab coffee or whatnot. So be realistic about it, but also don't overcomplicate it and make it into a bigger thing than it needs to be. Let me finish up and kind of wrap up with one more section here and talk through this a little bit. And at the end, we'll be talking a little bit more about some of the next steps and some of the things that we like to do in the Roanoke Church. But before I get into that, I want to encourage you with, because sometimes I think we can, as I said before, we can overcomplicate this or make this into a bigger deal than we need to. And we can think that relationships are really, really hard. Or I'm just not good at that. I just don't know how to start a relationship. Or I don't know how to talk. Or what if I want to get together with someone and we just kind of sit there and look at each other awkwardly, you know, or something, you know, and that might happen. I mean, sometimes that happens. But let me just talk through a couple things. A few, I call them skills. I don't know if they're skills. Let's just talk through a few things and realize that sometimes what God calls us to is not as complicated as we want to make it. You know, how do you start? How do you establish? How do you build a relationship with someone? How do you start to interact with someone? Who do you go up to and just start talking to? I put some questions up here. Do you kind of sense there's someone who's kind of off there on their own, a little bit isolated, maybe you kind of see them kind of, you know, use the Spirit. I mean, that's the Spirit talking often. Kind of lays it on your heart, saying that person maybe just, I'd like to just see how they're doing. Or maybe you hear that someone has gone through something and you know that in your life you've gone through something similar and have some experience that you could bring to bear into that. You know, prayerfully express that to God. If you offer yourself to God and say, "The Lord, I want, show me who you want me to talk to today. I'm coming to church on this Sunday. I'm coming into the church building. Who do you want me to talk to? Help me to come expectant this Sunday and next Sunday that you can orchestrate and set up a conversation. And maybe it's not Sunday. Maybe it's walking through the community. Maybe it's those circumstances only God brings into place. But start that relationship with just get to know each other. There's this activity we do. We'll do it next time we come back. But there's this activity we do where we talk about story and just sharing stories with each other. All of us have stories to share. All of us have experiences. That I believe, I wasn't here, but I bet that was one of the beauties of that Women's Day where you just sat down together and shared stories with each other. How powerful is that? Because all of us have a story that we have been given to share and that we love to hear from. So share stories, ask testimonies, think life skills. There is a beautiful thing. It's this in the way type mentoring where if there is work to be done, grab someone to do that work with. If you have wood to chop, I bet there's some young men that would love to chop wood and have conversation, and maybe you'd have to buy them dinner. I don't know, you know, but, you know, you get some work done. I mean, we have, you know, babysitters for that reason, you know, in our life that gives us a chance to invest into the lives of those young women and young men. Don't overcomplicate it. How can you bring someone into your space while you're going through your daily, running your errands or doing your daily life? It's a great opportunity just to begin conversation. And let's say you've started a relationship or started a conversation. Realize this. I want you to have this in the back of your mind. Realize a relationship is like a continuum. Most relationships are. There will be times when they might be very intense, and there will be times when they might be just very light.
And on this continuum, I have befriending or kind of the lighter moments on one side, and I have the intervening or the more intense moments on the other side. And it's a continuum. And there's a question where you can ask yourself, I mean, should I disciple? Should I coach? Should I counsel? Should I teach? What's needed right now with this person? Are they going through a tough spot where they need me to invest a little bit more? Or is this just a building of a friendship? And build those friendships in those good times when it's not intense, so that then they are there in those hard times when it is intense. We often get that backwards, right? We think, oh, when I need them, I'll reach out then. Now build those relationships in the good times, and they'll be there in the hard times. And you'll have that history together already. Simple little check. Ask open-ended questions. Ask open-ended questions. Start your questions with a stem, like how or why or something like that. Don't ask yes-no questions. You know, did you have a good day? That's a pretty simple yes-no question, right? And if you have a teenager, that's usually about what you get, right? Yes-no, yes-no. Change that just a little bit. You know, how was your day? Tell me about your day. What was one thing that went really well today? What was one thing that went not so well today? And it isn't just with your kids. I mean, this is with each other. This is with a relationship you might be starting. Use those open-ended questions. I have a couple examples here. We won't, I mean, again, you know, look at your neighbor right now. You know, are you increasing in your faith by hearing and reading the Word of God? Is that a yes-no question? What is that? That's a, yeah, you're going to say yes or no to that. How do you change that? How do you change that? Change two words and you have a whole different answer, right? Change are you increasing in your faith by hearing and reading the Word? Change it to how are you increasing your faith? Simple little changes can change your whole questioning technique. And as you do that, as you talk, as you dialogue, ask these follow-up type questions. Probe a little bit gently with follow-up type questions. Again, this is something that we'll go into more and we can talk through more at another time. But I wanted to touch on it briefly because I think it's a simple thing that all of us can do and all of us can think about how we talk to other people. And think about how we are intentional with other people. You might not be able to see it there. It's pretty small in your papers, but you have, you know, you start with those general questions. Maybe you're meeting someone for the first time. Tell me about yourself. And as they talk to you and tell you about themselves, listen well. As sometimes we fail in that simple thing, right? We don't listen as well as we should. We're instantly ready to say the next thing or instantly ready to fill the silence with what we want to say. But listen to what they're saying. And from what they're saying, just ask a simple follow-up question. Can you tell me a little bit more about this? That's the explore, you know, so generalize questions and explore, and then and then the third little bubble in that funnel is this clarify type thing. Dig a little deeper. How'd that make you feel? What was your first impression when that happened? And this seems, believe me, I know this seems formulaic, right? This seems you're not going to have a little note card probably with these questions on it. And you're not going to pull out your little note card as you're having a conversation at church lunch and saying, you know, well, now you're supposed to ask this, and then I'm going to ask this. You know, this doesn't quite work out that way. But the intentionality of seeking to understand the other person and asking questions and following up and listening well and showing interest in their life goes a huge ways. There's a fascinating little story in the scriptures. If you look in Luke 24 at the end, where Christ is walking on the road to Emmaus with two of the disciples. And he starts that conversation. It says they are walking, they are despondent. This crucifixion has just happened, and no one knows Christ has risen again, or the rumors are just starting to float around there. And he comes up alongside them, and Christ does this. He asks them a question. He says, what are you talking about, basically? Very high level. And they say a little bit, and he follows it up, and he says, what things, you know? It's that same model. It's that same pattern. And what it does is it takes a surface-level type relationship and it starts to bring some depth and some history together. Why? You know why? You don't have to, right? It's not unscriptural to come and just and to worship God together or just to be part of the church family, but it is an opportunity missed, perhaps, if we come together and we stay in that surface level all the time. And we don't truly embrace that scripture where it says we are to be members one of another. And let me finish with one more example. You know, and there are questions, I should say this yet. There are question guides and things to help with this too. I mean, one of the things we've done at the Counseling Center, we've created what we call discussion aids based around multiple different content areas. There's a tab on our website for discussion aids. And you can print those off, and they're just one-page type things. They have some scripture and then some follow-up questions. They're great mini little Bible studies or things to walk through to someone if you're in this more teaching-type mode with them. There are things out there. There are resources out there. There's things available. And if we're willing to grab them and use them and be purposeful about them. The last thing, as I said before, what this does, what this caring, what this purposefulness does is it allows us to be encouragers in the true sense of the word. Encouragers, exhorters in the true sense of the word. And encouragement is an interesting thing. Because what you see as this picture kind of demonstrates here is we walk around here in life, and many of us, all of us, I would say, have these fear bubbles around us. If I would ask you, and I did this actually, it's on the next slide. We did at a church. I asked the question, and there was a little thing that we used where you could actually use your cell phone and type in answers. And we asked the question. It was a similar church here to Roanoke, here in Illinois. We asked the question: what fears do people have? And these are the responses. They typed it in there, and it would show up on the screen, and it would keep kind of filtering through there. And you probably can't read those. I'll read a few of those to you, though. This is what this church said. Fears. Death of parents. Failure. Loss. Rejection. I fear knowing what God calls me to do. I fear being wrong. I fear change. I fear terrorists. I fear the state of Illinois. That was one that came up there. I fear bad health. I fear dissension in the family. I fear something's going to happen to my kids. I fear unemployment, financial loss, raising a family with no support, laziness, being alone. Do some of those start to resonate with you? Does that seem like an accurate picture of the church family that I see out in front of me? Because I think if we are honest with ourselves, that most of us can walk around with these fear spots, these fear bubbles, as we call them. And what God does, and what the scriptures does, and what God uses us to do, is to speak in love to that fear. The example you have here, you know, Jesus' love, for God so loved the world, he speaks to the fact that I have not come to condemn the world. He speaks to my fear. My fear is I'm broken and lost. And the answer is, but Jesus has paved the way. I need not fear that because Jesus has paved the way for me to be saved and whole. And whether it's this or whether it's this whole host of fears that we have here, as we seek to understand each other and as we seek to be intentional with each other, we can speak through that fear into their heart. What does that look like? It looks like a loving, gentle, purposeful, caring relationship that is willing to invest time and energy into each other and say, I hear you, I see you, I'm listening to what you're saying, I love you. In some cases, you can say, hey, I've been there. I've been through that same thing. This is what I experienced. You might experience something a little different, but this is what I experienced. And you know what? At the other end, God is good. And in some cases, maybe you can't quite relate, but you can still say that truth, right? You can still say, I know I have, God is good, and I'll pray for you. And I hear you, and I see you, and I love you. The challenge is if we're not careful, we will stay on that surface level. And we will never let ourselves be open to that opportunity to love and encourage in a deep way. Proverbs says it this way: a word spoken in due season, how good it is. A word spoken in due season, how good it is. Another proverb says it's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. So I leave you with some questions just to think about and encourage you. And I thank you very much for your time and your intention here. Who can you begin to share encouragement with today? Will you start your day with that prayer, just a simple prayer? God, who can I start to share encouragement with? Bring someone into my life who I can share encouragement with. And give me the words and the grace to embrace that opportunity. And you'll be amazed. I think you'll be amazed. I trust you'll be amazed to see what God does with that and how God continues to work and orchestrate. And I think we all would be amazed if we would see what change that would bring in anybody, including this body of Christ. And then at another level, I ask you to think about this. So we talk through these different levels of relationship. Ask yourself, what healthy relationships are present in your life? What healthy relationships are present in your life? Who are your companions? Who is your accountability? Or flip it a little different way. Who's the mentor? Who's the peers? Who's the mentee? Who am I investing into? Who's investing into me? Who's keeping me grounded? And then the follow-up questions to that question, are there relationships that I need to engage in for my benefit? Do I need to make known that I need someone? I need someone to invest into me, to meet with me, to talk with me. And the bottom question there, what relationships can you engage in to help others? It's a powerful opportunity that we have. It's a powerful opportunity that we have to walk through life together, to be encouragers to each other in the true sense of the word, to be willing, as Paul challenges us there in Romans 12:5, to be members one of another. It's something that we are near and dear at the counseling service. It's something that we have found to be extremely powerful and beneficial and necessary at the counseling service, because relationship, healthy relationship, breeds healthy individuals. And that makes me so excited for the opportunity to speak to you about this topic, which I'm passionate about and which we're passionate about. Thank you for this opportunity tonight, and thanks for being here. And may God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Arlen. Appreciate that. Brother Arlen mentioned one of the examples, the biblical examples that I thought of when it comes to a mentorship relationship, and that was Paul and Timothy. As we know, that's one of the best examples in the Bible of a mentor and a mentee. Did you know in 8 out of the 10 letters that Paul wrote to the churches, and 8 out of 10 of them, Timothy is mentioned as a co-author or a messenger to help deliver that? And I didn't realize that till I did a little research, but that really struck me, and that Timothy and Paul had that special relationship and that good example. So I thought that would be good, you know, for us as far as a study. If we wanted to be being a good mentor, we could study Paul. And in the letter to Timothy, in fact, he wrote the two of them, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, it mentions being a pattern. I thought that was a good word to use when we think about someone in a mentor role is setting a pattern for that mentee. And then we could study Timothy as well, as far as how do you be a good mentee, you know, somebody on the receiving end. But as Brother Arlen mentioned, it's good giving and receiving that relationship. When he had this triangle, this pyramid up here, I was thinking of my own relationships, and I have plenty of, you know, relationships at the community level who maybe I have many acquaintances, and then I kind of stepped up to the companionship level. I have many friends that I would consider, maybe my coworkers, maybe fall into that companionship. And then accountability. I've got two brothers that I use to keep me accountable, and I don't hesitate to call them when I'm struggling. I'll call them up, and one of them, for example, I'll call this brother if maybe I'm going to be out of town on a business trip, and I let him know, hey, I'm going to be out of town. I want him to know where I'm at and what I'm going to be doing. And this brother, I just know that I can count on him, and he knows that he can count on me to help keep each other accountable, and that's been very helpful. When it comes to at the top having a mentor, this is where I kind of dropped the ball. I had a older brother that I asked one time to be my mentor, and I kind of dropped the ball, and I realized where I dropped the ball was that intentionality part. I didn't really pursue that, and I wasn't really intentional on seeking out the time to spend together and getting, a benefit from that relationship. So that's where I kind of dropped the ball, and so I'm hoping maybe moving forward with something, this program we're going to talk about here, maybe that's something I can do better at and actually have more of a solid mentor relationship with someone. So what we'd like to do moving forward, first of all, we talked with some other churches and got some good examples from Champaign, Bluffton North, and Gridley. All these churches have some really strong mentorship programs in place. So we kind of looked at them as examples and how those are functioning. So one of the things we want to open this up to everyone in the church, members, non-members, young and old. I thought of even, he mentioned junior high kids, having an older mentor who is in college. That would be also helpful. And even the older ones, no matter what your age, however old you might be, you can always be a good mentor to someone. And there's something that you have to offer that can benefit someone else. So there's no age limits. So if there's something, there's an area in our lives, maybe we can all probably use improvement in some area. And there's also an area that we have experience in that we can probably share with someone else. So the way we'd like to move forward is with this program is to come up with a system where we're going to pair folks together and come up with a way where we can kind of start some mentor and mentorship relationships. And so the way we anticipate this working is, first of all, the way we envision is maybe you would meet once or twice a month with your partner, and then we would have this move on for maybe about 4 months or so, and we would kind of reevaluate that as maybe to make sure those relationships are a good fit. We also are talking about maybe after a year, we would mix that up, and you would have a different person who you're connected with. That certainly wouldn't mean those original relationships couldn't continue by any means, but these are one of the things that we talked about in moving forward. And then we, along with this annual, maybe a mix-up, we would also have some testimonials on folks just sharing how they've benefited from a mentor relationship. So we have a form here tonight, which we can go ahead and start passing out. If we haven't already, we're going to go ahead and pass out these forms. What these forms are is just a way to gauge interest from folks to see who might be interested in a program like this. By filling out the form, you're certainly committing to this program. We're not going to lock you into anything here. But we would like to gauge the interest from the church to see who's interested in participating. And I'm going to grab one of these from you here, Mindy. So as you get this, we'll kind of walk through it a little bit. I'll wait till they're all kind of handed out. But again, it's just to gauge some interest to see what the interest level is on participating in a program like this. By, again, filling this out doesn't necessarily commit you to anything. But if you do fill this out and you turn it in, that doesn't necessarily mean you're gonna be having a someone paired up with you. It just it means you're willing to participate, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we're gonna make all these matches fit perfectly or that everyone will necessarily have one. But we'll address this more in a proposed night of training. Brother Arlen mentioned there's some more materials and things like those questions. We will dig a little deeper into that at another night when we gauge who's interested in this program. And those folks, or really anyone, would be welcome again to this night of training. We're anticipating having that night be on January 3rd right now. That's on a Tuesday night, January 3rd. So that's kind of tentatively when we're planning it, but we'll be announcing that at church as well when that night's coming up. So once you get this form, first of all, another thing I wanted to mention was, while they're finishing passing those out, confidentiality is so important when it comes to this, in these relationships. Because the idea is if you're going to dig deeper in a relationship, it's not something you're going to want everybody to know or tell everybody things, but maybe with your partner, that is something you would share. And that's kind of the point, is to have a little deeper relationship with them. So confidentiality is so important, as well as intentionality. Like I mentioned, we need to be intentional on this. So the commitment level is not extreme. I know, as he mentioned, we're all short on time probably, but if you're looking at meeting every other week, a couple times a month, you know, maybe you meet for an hour, but just if you can pray about it, think about that kind of investment in someone's life, and that would be well worth it. So reviewing over the form here at the top, just if you want to put your name and email, and then if you're currently involved in a mentor relationship, that'd be good to know. That doesn't mean you can't participate, and that's great. If you already are involved with a partnership with someone, that's fantastic. But certainly that won't, you know, keep you from participating in this as well. Because I know many of you might already have someone that you partner with. So, and then number two, if you're willing to purposefully encourage someone at this time or serve as a mentor, you can check that, yes, no, or maybe. And then number three, if there's a specific area in your life that you feel you have a little bit of experience in that might be able to help someone else that's in need in that area, that'd be a great way that we could help connect you. And then if you would like someone else to help you out at this time, if you're willing to receive a mentor, we'd be happy to try to pair you up with someone. And again, if there's a certain area in your life you feel that in these categories you'd want some encouragement in, I'd encourage you to check those certain areas. As far as these forms go, they're going to be confidential. There's going to be a committee of two or three people that will be reviewing these and making the pairs. But when you're done and when they are filled out, we do want you to put them in the box at the back. There's a white box back there that we've got where you can fold them and drop them in there. We do want them back tonight. So before you leave, please leave your form in there if you're interested in participating. We've got plenty of pens in the back. If you want to, when we're all done, you can grab some pens, or Brother John, if you want to pass them out, that's fine too. But you can feel free to fill those out and drop those in the box before you leave. So, And if you're not interested right now, maybe you would be in the future, feel free to leave us a comment there. But that kind of explains what we're hoping to do moving forward with them forms. So, and we would, if we want to just maybe hold off on passing those out, I think now maybe we'll ask for a closing prayer. And I've asked Brother Gary Wettstein to come up and have that closing prayer for us, if you would, Brother Gary.
Let's all arise to pray. We thank Thee, Lord, for prayer. We look to Thee at this time. We would not leave this meeting tonight without thanking Thee for our time spent together. And we could feel Thy love in this building tonight. And Thou hast raised us up and touched us all. And we see we all have work to do, Lord. And we need Thee to help us do that. So we realize that Thou art our best friend, our neighbor, and our teacher. So always help us to look to Thee first and foremost for all things. We thank Thee for this brother Thou has brought us tonight. His presentation, Lord, so be with him and his family. Be with us all as we leave here tonight. Bless us on our way. Keep us all safe. Return home safely. We can meet again. And we want to thank Thee for our church family, Lord, that we love so much. We've been so blessed with. So accept our thanks and our prayer at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Brother Arlen, it's my first time doing the greetings thing, but I assume you want to...
We give greetings from the church in Gridley.
All right. Would anybody want to share greetings? We would ask, Arlen, that you take greetings from Roanoke back with you, please. Hey, brothers. Leo. Nashville and Austin and Phoenix. Fairbury. Remington. Cisna Park, Peoria. Wow, a lot of traveling lately. Great, wonderful. Any others? Okay, thank you for sharing those. Appreciate it. All right. If you got any questions on the form or anything, feel free to ask me before you leave. But we would like you to, again, drop those in the box in the back. You can fill those out. And if we could, I'd like to close with hymn number 810. Number 810. If the song leaders want to come up again, we can close with that one.